Good afternoon. You're listening to Campus K News for Friday, January 23rd. I'm Taylor Heckert. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska's broadband venture, Tidal Network, is building three communications towers in Petersburg with money from a large federal grant. But the project has received some community pushback, with some residents questioning the process. Campus K's Olivia Rose reports.
A few years ago, the federal government awarded Tlingit and Haida nearly $50 million to develop broadband infrastructure. The tribe's broadband enterprise, Tidal Network, is using the grant money to build communications towers in several Southeast Alaska communities. The project aims to cover areas with service gaps and give households with slow internet access to a faster option. Tidal Network bought two private properties in Petersburg for the towers and applied to buy a third from the borough. Tidal Network has plans for no more than three towers in Petersburg. One is already under construction on an industrial-zoned lot off a private road in town with homes nearby. Another tower is proposed on private property in the Papke's Landing neighborhood, roughly 10 miles south of town. A number of residents have testified at various public meetings about their concerns with the project. Sarah Holmgren is a resident of Papke's Landing. She's also the longtime school board president, as well as the owner of Petersburg Properties, a real estate business in town. At a recent planning commission meeting, she highlighted a reoccurring concern, property values.
From a real estate point of view, aside from all other concerns, it will be harder to sell property and their values will be affected because there will be a certain group of the population that will not want to live near a tower, whether it's aesthetics or health concerns.
Several community members have emphasized that, in Petersburg, they'd prefer the towers to be located somewhere less intrusive, away from local homes. The Planning Commission agreed to recommend that the borough pursue a land swap with Tidal Network to relocate the tower planned for the Papke's neighborhood. Tidal Network Director Chris Cropley told KFSK in an email that Tidal Network is open to reviewing alternative locations for towers that haven't been built so long as the spots still meet requirements. As for property value concerns, Cropley claims reliable broadband access can increase a property's appeal because the internet is now a basic utility, and so Tidal Network towers add infrastructure value to the community rather than reduce it. He referenced studies that found no adverse effect from the towers on nearby property values in Poland, California, and four large cities in the United States.
Really? Did the place they refer to have the backdrop of Wrangell Narrows, Horncliffe, and Devil's Thumb?
That's Andy Wright, a Petersburg resident who lives near the tower site that's already under construction. He voiced his concerns to the borough assembly in January. Wright has described the situation as a, quote, systemic communications failure. But he told assembly members at a recent meeting that his comments weren't directed at Tidal Network.
I don't want to talk to them. The problem has been lack of effective communication with you.
It's part of a technical procedural issue that's been highlighted over the past few assembly meetings. The borough is not required to notify residents of building permits issued for any property, as such the case with the industrial site near Wright's home. The borough is following its code, and Tidal Network is following legal requirements. On a local level, it purchased private, appropriately zoned property for its project and got the necessary permits from the borough. And when it comes to a law-abiding company following the rules on its property, Vice Mayor J. Stanton Greger says that it's not the borough's place to get in the way or micromanage personal business.
We are teetering towards what I would see as a large government overreach to change how people can use their property when they're using it according to their zoning. I do not think it is the borough's responsibility to act like a big government and decide who can use their industrial lots a certain way.
Stanton Greger says interfering with Tidal Network's project isn't the borough's purview, and changing the rules on them would set a, quote, terrible precedent. Discussing this at an earlier meeting, Assemblymember Jeff Mucci said the tower project opened up a conversation, quote, long overdue in the community.
Tidal Network is following the rules, but if the rules are antiquated and 30, 40, 50 years old, and there are some issues that need to be addressed by the borough, then I think this is a good time to start chatting about that.
Petersburg's Planning Commission has started drafting an ordinance to update the borough code from 1985, which predates cell phones and broadband. It would not affect the towers currently being built. Negotiations are ongoing with Tidal Network for the sale of borough-owned property next to the town's fire hall, the third site. Borough officials said in January that the contract won't get finalized until the community can ask questions. But at the most recent assembly meeting on January 20th, some residents questioned the point of having a dialogue with Tidal Network, noting frustration and dissatisfaction with responses to their inquiries so far. But even so, the assembly agreed that meeting face-to-face with Tidal Network higher-ups could still be a helpful thing. Here's Assemblymember Scott Newman.
I would like to see them in person, and I'd like to be able to have a discussion with them, and maybe some good will come from it. And so that's the best that we can hope for, and I think we need to move forward with that. But I understand your frustration.
Representatives from Tidal Network are expected to deliver a presentation and answer community questions at an in-person assembly work session in February. But a few days before that happens, the assembly is having a different work session requested by Assemblymember Mucci. He says it's not for Tidal Network. It's about communication towers in general and for the community to address their concerns to the assembly. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
Tidal Network has a virtual session for a Petersburg site plan overview and Q&A scheduled for Tuesday, January 27th at 5:30 p.m. The Petersburg Borough Assembly has a general communication towers work session scheduled on January 28th at 6 p.m. and a Tidal Network work session scheduled on February 2nd at 6 p.m., all of which are open to the public. The City and Borough of Wrangell arranged an agreement with American Cruise Lines. This marks the latest chapter in a long-running local conversation about how cruise tourism fits into the community's waterfront and economy. Over the past year, borough officials have been negotiating with the company on a potential partnership. Those talks culminated earlier this month when the Wrangell Borough Assembly gave unanimous approval to a long-term 40-year lease of local tidelands. As part of the agreement, American Cruise Lines would cover the cost of building a floating dock tailored to its small ship fleet, a scale of cruise tourism more typical for Wrangell than the megaships seen elsewhere. The dock would remain accessible to the public during times when cruise ships are not calling in Wrangell, including the off-season. In return, the borough would fund upland improvements, including filling in a portion of the waterfront to provide access to the dock. Borough officials estimate that the work will cost about $2.5 million. Assembly members authorized up to $4 million in revenue bonds to cover the project, with repayment coming from ports and harbors revenue rather than local tax dollars. During a recent presentation, American Cruise Lines President Charlie Robertson said the Wrangell agreement is one of the company's most significant projects in Alaska.
This project is sort of our flagship project in Alaska, and is the first one that's getting near the finish line here in terms of solidifying the agreement. But we hope can serve as a model in other communities around Alaska, too.
The lease sets an initial base rent of $50,000 per year, with a minimum of 40 cruise ship dockings annually. Revenue generated from third-party use of the dock would be split evenly between the borough and American Cruise Lines. The company would be responsible for major maintenance and capital repairs, while the borough would handle day-to-day operations. But not everyone felt the decision moved forward with enough public input. Wrangell resident James Freeman told the assembly that a planned town hall meeting on waterfront development was canceled due to winter weather. He says that left some residents unable to weigh in before the vote.
But we had talked about a number of people that remembered we were going to go through a town hall meeting and there was going to be some other things that happened.
The borough says construction should begin as early as this year, with the goal of completing the project by May 2027. Ketchikan sees over 1 million cruise ship passengers each year, but only 6 public restrooms service the downtown area. After years of little progress, recent concerns from a handful of community members have reignited efforts to bring more public facilities to the city. KRBD's Hunter Morrison reports.
The need for more restroom facilities downtown has been a regular talking point at City Council and Borough Assembly meetings for at least 6 years. In 2020, the Ketchikan City Council agreed to enter into an agreement with an architectural firm to design public restrooms on Stedman Street near Thomas Basin. But the City Council was concerned about the high building costs for that project, and the ball was eventually dropped. Downtown restroom facilities were brought up again by Creek Street business owner Hamilton Geller during a public comment period at a November City Council meeting.
People are asking us all the time, where to get crab? And where do I go to the bathroom?
There are currently 6 public restroom facilities in the downtown area, 4 of which are only open in the summer months. The closest public restrooms to Creek Street are inside the Tongass Historical Museum and across the street from the Salvation Army Thrift Store. So, the city's Public Works Department recently drafted up 4 new potential restroom facility locations in the Creek Street area. That's in addition to the suggested site in front of the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center. A committee of city council members and borough assembly members reviewed and suggested locations last month and agreed to explore the costs of building 2 of these sites. Those are near Dolly's House on Creek Street and between New York Cafe and Ketchikan Dry Goods on Stedman Street. But some community members at last week's city council meeting raised concern about the restroom's location and size. Resident Stephen Reeves thinks the facilities could be difficult to manage or reduce parking spaces downtown.
No one has talked to affected property owners, the groups that represent places like Creek Street, and we need to slow down a little bit and get their opinions.
The city council approved at that meeting developing cost estimates for both of the proposed restroom locations. The borough assembly suggested at its meeting this week to develop an agreement with the city for the purpose of solving the restroom problem in the Creek Street area. The assembly also approved a $500,000 placeholder for next fiscal year's borough budget to help solve the restroom problem. Borough Vice Mayor Jamie Palmer says the specifics of how that money will be used have not yet been discussed. Assemblymember Sherry Arntzen says public restroom construction on Creek Street was a regular talking point when she served on the borough's planning commission. She says it's time for the city and the borough to work together on a solution.
This is a continual issue, and the conversation about, oh, it's going to be 2, it's going to be 3 more years before we get a bathroom, I think is short-sighted.
Construction of the restrooms would be funded by the borough through the cruise passenger vessel excise tax. That's a tax on cruise ship passengers imposed by the state and distributed to municipalities. Ketchikan's Joint Cooperative Relations Committee will meet later this month to further discuss borough funding for public restrooms on Creek Street. They'll meet again at the end of February to discuss cost estimates for the 2 proposed restrooms. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Hunter Morrison.
Alaska Congressman Nick Begich has a new challenger. Bill Hill, a Bristol Bay fisherman and retired teacher and school administrator, has filed to run for Alaska's sole U.S. House seat as an independent candidate. Hill cites the late Alaska Congressman Don Young as an inspiration.
That's kind of who I hope to, in some respect, mold myself after. You know, what's good for Alaskans first, and we need to start putting distance between politicians that are just cozying up to billionaires and special interests, and we need people that are going to work for Alaskans.
A day after launching, Hill's campaign announced he'd raised $200,000. Hill has retained the campaign consulting firm Ship Creek Group, the same agency that brought early success for Mary Peltola when she launched her bid for U.S. House in the 2022 special primary election. If elected, Hill isn't committing to joining either the Republican or the Democratic House caucuses.
I think that decision needs to be done thoughtfully, and it needs to be done at the appropriate time with whatever the structure of Congress looks like at that time.
Hill is Athabascan, raised on Lake Iliamna, and now lives in Naknek. But he's also lived in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. Begich, a freshman Republican, has raised more than $2 million for his reelection campaign. Democrat Matt Schultz, a Presbyterian minister from Anchorage, is also campaigning for the seat. For Campus K, I'm Taylor Heckert.